Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Oh.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Dangerous World. If you are a listener of the Wicked Planet podcast with my good old buddy, Ron from New England, you've already heard this episode. I'm releasing this today rather than later in the week like I had intended because I have ran into some technical difficulties trying to record what was supposed to be a BlackRock episode. Got about an hour plus recorded and then moved into a separate segment. And for some reason, none of that recorded, even though Zoom was showing me it was recording. So I don't know if it was the content. I checked throughout the episode that it was being recorded. I don't know. We were talking about the board members for the Patreon segment. And we got into some weird information. So I don't know. I mean, it doesn't, I don't like to think like that. You know, it doesn't make sense that Zoom would actively be trying to censor it. But I mean, I did everything right. It's just frustrating. But nonetheless, this was a fun conversation that we had. And if you haven't heard it, and if you're not listening to Wicked Planet, make sure that you check it out because he's doing some great work over there with his co-host Buckley. And every once in a while, they have a few others pop in and give some great information that you're really not hearing anywhere else. And the dude's just a great guy. I really love Ron. So check out Wicked Planet is the moral of the story here. Housekeeping, gonna keep this quick. If you're supporting over there at patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast, you guys have my heart and my soul. I like every single person that's over there. Okay, I really appreciate it. I know money's hard to come by these days, but I mean, you know, $5 is looking cheaper and cheaper, and I'm not raising the price, okay? I'm not Amazon. I'm not every other company that you're subscribing to on Netflix, Amazon, Disney. I'm not raising prices, okay? I'm keeping my prices the same. So show me some love. Show me a little bit of fucking respect over there. Put some respect on my name so I don't have to do anything crazy, okay? Again, patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. Thank you so much. And that's all I'm gonna plug this time. You know what I mean? I really do just want to get this episode out because the whole snake venom in the water is interesting. That's what we talk about here. We are just theorizing. We kind of go back and forth on this a little bit. Provocative stuff in this Watch the Water documentary. Hard to tell if it's real or not. They say that if you drink snake venom, it's not going to kill you because of your stomach acid. I would challenge any of those people to say, okay, drink some snake venom then. I don't think one of those people that's saying that would actually do it. I don't know. I'm playing it safe right now, but we'll see what happens. Maybe this will come out and everyone will just be meant to look like a fool. There's a lot of distractions going on from every angle, but Ron and I always like to entertain this stuff, man, at the very least. I think that that's what you tune in for, too. So we bring some interesting information to the forefront, and we give our opinions on this as well. So enjoy the episode, guys. Thank you for all your support. BlackRock episode will most likely be coming out tomorrow, the next day after you're all hearing this. And it is some wild stuff that I found with that, guys. So thank you so much. Enjoy this episode with me and the great Ron from New England of Wicked Planet.
Okay, everyone. Welcome to the Wicked Planet podcast. We're doing just kind of like I got a hold of my buddy Ryan over at the Dangerous World podcast. I wanted to get together with him real quick. Just kind of go over this whole snake venom revelation that we've been seeing through Mike Adams, the health ranger, and also on Stu Peters. They both have their own version of it. And Mike Adams, I think, is digging into it a little bit deeper. And why I wanted to talk to Ryan, of course, because Ryan and I, when we did our first episode together, we talked about some things that I think might tie into this. We don't know anything about this right yet. We're just looking into it. But anyways, I just wanted to get together real quick and have a quick conversation and see what we can come up with. So welcome, Ryan, to the show. Yeah. Thanks for joining in.
Yeah, I think this is my first time on Wicked Planet, even if it's just a segment like this, and I'm honored, right?
Yeah, it might be. You know, we got to get together and do a full-blown show here one of these days.
Yeah, but, man.
Go ahead, Ryan. Sorry.
I was just going to say, speaking to, you know, the reference of the first episode that we did, I believe that was called The Illuminati's Attack on Health, right? And so yeah. We were talking about all these different methods where they're poisoning our food, they're poisoning our air, our water, all these things. Man, this fits right into that, and it's weird, dude. It's a wild theory, but like you said, we can't just ignore things like this when it comes up.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of other talk, and you know, on a lot of the Telegram channels that I belong to, and you probably belong to, they're all, it's a psyop, it's this and that. It very well could be. However, it just seems like all these elements fit together. And I mean, of course, when there's a psyop, that they're gonna want you to think that, right? And then I find out that this Dr. Eris is now selling the antidote, which seems to me a little sketchy. But
sure, everything can't be a psyop, though, man. That's a boring world. And what's the point of having a conspiracy podcast or talking about this stuff if everything is fake?
Agreed, 100%. And I mean, this is just something that we like to go over when we see something new like this. And because, you know, we both have conspiracy podcasts and we have a lot of listeners. So I think it's something that people would be interested in hearing about. And even for the listeners that have no idea that this is even going on. And I'm sure we have a fair amount of those as well.
So maybe you should describe a little bit about what's going down, just to break down the very, very basics for those few people that may not at all know about the connection with snake venom and COVID-19 and remdesivir and all these things.
Yeah, sure. So we have this doctor, and I want to double check to get his name right, but I believe it's Dr. Arias, who happens to be a chiropractor.
Yep.
And he had come out with this report, allegedly of a lot of research that he did that ties in actual snake venom in with COVID, also in with remdesivir, and also in with the vaccination.
Yep.
So this is what makes it interesting, and he's got a lot of good information on it.
Dr. Artis, right?
It's Artis or Arias. Yeah, I probably should have already had that figured out. I got so many things going through my brain right now.
Hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's Artis, A R D I S.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's A R D I S. And I did find it interesting that he's a chiropractor. It does seem like almost like a grift, like you say. And we're not discounting that at all, obviously. But man, what a hell of a coincidence. When you start looking into this stuff between, you know, whether it's monoclonal antibodies or actually anti-venom, and they don't want people taking hydroxychloroquine with remdesivir because that's going to negate its quote unquote antiviral properties. Then when you start looking into what virus means in Latin and all these other things, there's just too many pieces not to at least try and understand where these people are coming from with this theory.
Right. And the other thing is, too, there's a lot of information being thrown at us that we need to kind of look into. But what he's saying is that why they outlawed hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and there was one more med that they kind of outlawed. They don't want you to take any of this as a preventative for COVID or early prevention or early treatment. Let's say if your COVID is like, you know, less than 48 hours old or whatever. And what's interesting about that is that they said that the hydroxychloroquine actually negates what remdesivir does.
Yeah.
Right. And so remdesivir, If you kind of going along with the narrative of what this Dr. Artis is saying, that contains the snake venom also. And you know that if you get bit by a snake, one of the things that they can give you for that is hydroxychloroquine, mm-hmm. right? Along with the with the cocktail of drugs, the monoclonal treatments.
Antibodies. Yeah.
Antibodies, yeah. Which, you know, I wasn't aware of how they actually get that, how they get those antibodies. And what they do is they take snake venom and they inject into a big animal, and he's used a horse.
Yeah.
So they inject it into a horse. The horse, of course, horses are huge. They build up the antibodies against it. Then they pull the blood from the horse, and they get the antibodies out of that, and that's what they use to combat any type of snake bite or snake venom. But I mean, you know, the thing is too, is I'm going to have to put some links to all of these shows with Mike Adams and Stu Peters in the show notes so that people can watch it, so they can understand a little bit clearly about what's going on. I think he's covering it a little bit better with Mike Adams, like, for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just his whole demeanor when he was on with Stu Peters, you know, he was almost in tears. And then when he's on with Mike Adams, well, it's a different story. And then part two came out because Mike Adams is doing a 3-part series. And then the second part comes out and seems to me like he's giddy and he's joking. And dude, this isn't anything to joke about. If this is legit, which the jury obviously is still out on. But all these pieces fit together, and maybe we can just talk about that a little bit.
He may be a little bit giddy, Ron, just because when you're sharing new information and it's mind blowing like this, there is a bit of like an adrenaline rush, right? I remember I actually looked into, and I can't say this without thinking of Matt and laughing about like the whole Brucella thing. Because I said Brucella probably 1,000 times in that Brucella episode. It was episode 180 that I did back in December of last year. And what they were talking about was that there was this ancient venom type thing, or an ancient toxin is the word that they used, that the Nazis were able to synthesize and crystallize. And they specifically said this. And I was thinking, after this happens, that's exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about freeze drying synthesized venom. It's not all real snake venom. They take they break it down molecule by molecule, and then they reconstruct it in a synthesized format. And then they crystallize it by freeze drying it. And then you can sprinkle it in water supplies. You can sprinkle it in food. You can sprinkle it in all these different things. So I just wonder if all along that's what this Nazi bioweapon was. I mean, it is an ancient bioweapon. And then just to touch on the idea of the monoclonal antibodies, just doing a quick Google search, monoclonal antibodies neutralize the lethal toxicity of Bothrop's venom and indicate that there is a reasonable possibility of developing antivenoms based on humanized monoclonal antibodies to treat victims of venomous animals in the future. And then when you look up Bothrop's, which I did as well, Bothrop's snake venom causes systemic thrombotic syndrome, but also local inflammation involving extensive pain and hemorrhage. So we're seeing that in people. And then also systemic thrombotic syndrome may lead to fatal pulmonary embolism and myocarditis, myocardial or cerebral infarction, which is basically like obstruction of blood flow. So yeah, dude, I mean, when you go on and look it up right away, you see that.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, like when you talk about Brucella and you talk about the Nazis, and you know, we all know about Operation Paperclip when we brought all these Nazi scientists over to the United States. Who's to say that this whole system isn't something that's derived from old Nazi technology, right? I mean, sure. the way that they could do this. Now there was a gentleman that I follow on Telegram, and he was saying that, you know, he did kind of a debunking episode this morning, and I can actually put that link in the show notes as well, because I think, you know, we need to look at both sides of this picture here, you know. Okay. But how they're getting it to the people, right? Like we've always had this question: how can they administer, say, COVID-19, right, to the masses? Right. So what we're seeing is that we're seeing it in pockets. Right. We saw it big time in Italy, New York City, Texas, L.A., places like that, like heavy population areas where the COVID-19 was breaking out. Right. I want to say it was a couple of cities down south, too. So but I mean, if they targeted it and they did put it in the municipal water supply, and this is where this whole story started. Stu Peters comes out with this, the name of his, this big, you know, what do you call it?
Kind of a documentary or an expose.
Yeah, expose, bombshell tonight, as Nancy Grace used to say, was to watch the water. Now, what is the first thing when you hear the term watch the water?
Red flag.
You know, as well as I do, that this was a common term out there in the Q world, was out with Q and QAnon, which, like Anonymous Sean, always wants to remind people you're talking about two different things. Q is one thing, QAnon is another thing. I fully believe that that's a total psyop, but just the fact that they used the Watch the Water as the title for this documentary, I thought was kind of interesting.
Do you remember the things that they were referencing that to, Ron? They were trying to tie Watch the Water to the Three Gorges Dam, the watermarks in the ballots from the 2020 election. They almost take that Watch the Water and just apply it to anything that may or may not have anything to do with water.
I was going to say, it's a generic term.
Mm-hmm.
So Watch the Water. And then, when we're looking into it a little bit more, what are we hearing? Oh, well, they're putting the COVID-19 into the municipal water supplies. So everybody that's drinking it, even Mike Adams is like, oh, starting Monday, you know, and I don't know why we had to wait till Monday, you know, don't drink municipal water. Don't eat soups or in a restaurant. Don't drink water in a restaurant. Don't use ice cubes that come from municipal water. And I mean, and this is probably always a good rule, no matter even in the good times, you probably shouldn't be doing that, because we all know there's some funky stuff. You know, fluoride is one of them that's in the municipal water supplies that we all know that, you know, that's not good for you either. Right. But I mean, now that was starting to gain my interest. I'm like, okay, I'll bite on it. I'll take a listen to the Stu Peters show. I don't mind Stu Peters. I don't watch him every day, but once in a while he comes up with some pretty good information. Mm-hmm. And So I'm listening to it, and this guy is saying how they had taken venom from the Chinese king cobra, venom from the Chinese crate snake, somehow or other combined it, because both of those have different properties. I guess the king cobra, and I could have these backwards, the king cobra makes your blood thicken, and the crate acts like a blood thinner.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought that the cobra venom thinned it, because I remember they were talking about internal bleeding. You would bleed internally if you were bit by a king cobra. But it is confusing, because even I heard different pronunciations of the snake called the crate or crite, right? It just depends on who's saying it. So there's a lot of confusion there. And it, you know, obviously, if you can't tell by looking at Ron or myself, we are not medical experts, okay? No. But we can research, and this is what's kind of fun about this stuff. So I didn't want to ramble too long there. You were on a roll with the snake venoms and stuff.
Yeah. So and what this guy is saying that he's finding in his research is that they've somehow taken these two snake venoms, combined them, and further synthesized them. And then like what you said, Ryan, the freeze drying process, and it turns it into a powder. And this is what they're sprinkling in the municipal water supplies. But then, you know, when I'm listening to this this other kind of expose debunking video this morning, and he brings up a perfectly valid point. Do you know how much that would take? How much snake venom that would take, in whatever form, to get enough into the municipal water supply of any city, big or small, to sicken the people that are drinking the water? Because now what he's saying is that COVID-19 is not a virus at all. Mm. It's parasitic, right? Which Sean and I have talked a lot about, because why would you be able to treat COVID-19 with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine for that matter? Because those are anti-parasitic, right? I mean, hydroxychloroquine, you take that for malaria.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it kind of does lend some credence to the whole germ theory versus terrain theory, which is a fun thing to explore. I don't know where I stand on that whole thing. I did think that it was interesting from the beginning when they started talking about ivermectin, and that's also why that Brucella thing fits so well into it, because it's a zoonosis, just like they're talking about this COVID, which comes from either a bat, a pangolin, or a snake. And then you come to find out that they censored it, the fact checkers, who are just arbiters of lies, basically, they censored the article anytime they mentioned the snake, right? Yeah. So I didn't even know. I always thought that it was just either a bat, and I thought that was their shitty excuse. You know what I mean? It's like, no, this didn't come from a bat. This came from a lab, right? Maybe they used some bat proteins or peptides, as they call them, but I never heard that snake was a possibility until just a few days ago when I actually kind of out of the blue messaged you and we start talking about, like, dude, there's this guy out of the University of Arizona talking about this stuff. That's my local university here. And then just a couple days later, this whole thing comes out. It was just a big synchronicity for me. And yeah, it's a scary, scary thing and weird. And there's too many coincidences. I don't know if you want to move on to the U of A guy yet, or if you want to keep going with where we're at, but yeah.
Well, I think I just want to put just a little bit more info out, and then we can dive into the University of Arizona study that you and I were talking about. So basically what this guy is saying is that they're using, and here's the other funny thing, right? He said COVID-19, you know, how they used to initialize it, CV-19.
Yeah.
What he's saying that means cobra venom, 19 different toxins, basically, or whatever, which I think, well, that just happens to fit, right?
19 different proteins. Because when you take the king cobra and the rake, or the crate, and you synthesize their venoms together, you're left with 19 toxic proteins. So that's where, and they were working on this since 2005, according to the theory. So to the debunking of the idea where that would take a whole lot of venom, I mean, if you're working on it for 15 years, you can get a lot of the synthesized venom in that time.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. But the other thing too is what he's saying now. And you know, and for the listeners, when Ryan and I first got together, it was Dangerous World episode 42. So that goes back a while. But we talked about several things that I find that could be tied into this, right? We talked about where the possibility of, and at the time we're thinking it's a virus, right? And I mean, we're still thinking possibly that it's a virus. We don't even know what it is, because now they're saying that they never actually isolated the COVID-19 virus, right? So do we think, because we got all of our, you know, podcasting associates that say COVID is a hoax. Oh, COVID's not a hoax, but it's not as strong as they wanted to be. I mean, we're all over the board here, right? But mm-hmm. We talked about the one thing that we talked about was when the Chinese came out and they said that this virus came from a bat from the Chinese wet market that was, what, like a block away from the Wuhan lab. So we kind of joined on, I jumped on that, and I'm like, yeah, no, this wasn't a bat. It just doesn't fit. It's easy to blame it on a bat. And then they blamed it on the pangolin, which is like a little armadillo looking critter. But when you say, I mean, okay, so there's a lot of snakes there too. But every time anybody brought snake up, like you said, in fact, oh, no, it's not snake. You want to look at the bats. It's the bats, not the snake.
And the bats are in hibernation.
Yeah. That time of year. And then when anybody says something or fact check, you always want to believe the opposite, right?
Yeah.
So, but we talked about that it escaped from this lab. It didn't come from a bat, right? The other thing that we talked about was this professor from Harvard University that was taking money from the CCP. He did eventually get arrested for that and convicted. I want to say he still might be going to trial, but he had two Chinese spies working with him. Whether or not he knew they were spies or not, we don't know the answer to that. One of them disappeared, probably back in China now. One was arrested at Logan Airport with 21 vials of biological material that they were trying to smuggle out of the country. Mm. Now, back then, we kind of theorized that this biological material could have been the early COVID-19 virus that they were sending to Wuhan for gain-of-function work, which now, even though Fauci still denies it, there is like documentation proving that they did do gain-of-function at the Wuhan lab. Who's to say that this biological material was not some type of synthesized snake venom? I mean, I know it's a huge theory, but we still don't know what was in those vials.
Yeah, I mean, to anyone that would just straight go to PSYOP, you know, listening to what Ron's saying here, it's like, well, prove me wrong. You know what I mean? Prove Ron wrong. You can't. That's what a theory is. It's kind of, you know, throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks, essentially. And I think that, you know, no one's brought this snake thing up. And I think it's an important aspect. And then one thing that was really interesting, you're mentioning virus a lot. There's a lot of people out there that don't even believe that viruses are a real thing at all, right? And it's kind of an interesting aspect of everything when you look at what virus means in Latin. And it means, they say venom, but like I looked it up last night, it's poisonous secretion, which is essentially the same thing. There is a difference between poisonous and venomous, but same difference, essentially. And then you just look into all the symbolism of the snake and the staff. I forget what it's called. The two snakes going up the staff for the medical symbol.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff there, and you just see it over and over again. There's too much symbolism just to ignore here, man.
Well, what I find interesting is he says how the snake venom is incorporated to all the elements. It's incorporated into the COVID-19. It's incorporated into remdesivir, which is the only drug that's the protocol that's used. If you go in the hospital and you have a COVID-19 situation going on, they want to give you remdesivir, which basically fucking kills people.
Yeah.
And what remdesivir does, the side effects of remdesivir just happen to be very, very similar to the effects you get from a snake bite.
Especially the Bothrops ones that I just read about with the monoclonals.
I mean, just that right there, doesn't that seem a little sketchy to you?
It's a hell of a coincidence, if it is a coincidence. You know what right. I mean? That's the only thing, man. And this is the kind of stuff that I really like, man. I like the stuff that you can't, like a logical person can actually have a discussion about it, and there's nothing that you can prove or disprove here.
Right.
But it, like I said, it's something that needs to be brought up.
Okay, so get into this University of Arizona, dude.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then before that, really quick, I did want to mention that they are now the FDA made it legal for snake venom to be used on your crops. And it's because it's a great pesticide, supposedly. So I heard that from Deanna Lorraine. She talks on Stu Peters a lot, too. I think it was Dr. Ariana Love. So this character out of the U of A, which, again, just down the street from me here, his name is Dr. Floyd Chilton. His nickname is Ski. I don't know why they put that in there. But he's an interesting dude. And I saw and I read some stuff where he is saying that there's this enzyme in the blood. And it's called the SPLA2A. And I was reading it SPLAIIA. So I just want to make that correction for anyone that might have heard me speaking on it. It's Roman numerals too. So it looks like II. He's saying that there's this enzyme in the human blood in very, very trace amounts. And when you're infected with COVID, this enzyme rises drastically, like it exponentially grows. Now, this very, very similar version of this enzyme is also found in rattlesnake venom. We have a ton of rattlesnakes around here in the Southwest desert. So it is kind of a perfect area for the studies. And this guy's all about agriculture. He's the professor he's a professor at the School of Nutritional Sciences and Wellness currently. But a thing that I found very interesting about him is over the last 30 years, he's had continuous funding from the National Institutes of Health. It's the NIH. That's Fauci, right? Uh-huh. So it was interesting when he said the way that he described it, this enzyme, when it enters your blood through a snake bite, it says, you know, we see these organs here. We see those organs as harmful. Let's kill them. Let's put them out of their misery. And COVID is doing the same thing. They're finding in patients that die of COVID, especially, have insanely high levels, like past toxic levels of this SPLA2A enzyme. People that didn't get as sick had an increased rate in it, right? So maybe these are people that got sick, but maybe they didn't get the vaccine, or maybe they didn't go on remdesivir. And so there's varying degrees of how much of this was found in their blood. And it's another thing that just tied in so perfectly. And so when I'm looking into this, and then 2 days later, this whole thing comes out, like I said, that's why I got kind of obsessed with the whole theory. And another aspect of the snake venom is if you get bit and you suck out the venom with your mouth, you lose your taste and your smell for quite some time, right?
Yeah, and exactly.
And that's what's happening to people, man. I mean, I just got sick the other day. I'm kind of still getting over it. I feel a little off still, but I'm way better than I was. I still can't smell and I still can't taste very much. Like unless it's something real spicy, you know what I mean? So who knows? I might've had COVID. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go get tested. I'll tell you that right now, but
yeah.
There's just remdesivir is an interesting part of this whole thing too.
Okay, so and he's also talking that the snake venom is also in the vaccine. So, I mean, is just this a slow? I mean, you know what? You and I, in the very beginning, I always said, hey, this is a depopulation agenda. And I still think that it is. Yeah. There isn't anything that's going to sway me on that. It's just nothing about COVID-19 works. Nothing about COVID-19 makes sense. Nothing about how they wanted to lock everybody down makes sense. Because if it is snake venom, let's just say hypothetically, if it is snake venom, you don't breathe that shit out. So why the masks? Why the lockdowns? Why all of that? And so was that part of it, the PSYOP? I mean, this is the stuff we're trying to figure out. But what they're saying is, if you get COVID-19, right, say it's the snake venom, yeah. You get COVID-19, you get sick enough to go to the hospital. You go to the hospital, they put you on remdesivir, which allegedly has this snake venom in it as well. Okay, so this is this their euthanasia program? Where you're not dying fast enough from the COVID. So we're going to give you the remdesivir to speed that up. And then they put you on meds to kind of relax you. Then they give you the remdesivir and then you fucking die. So, I mean, is this part of the depopulation agenda? I can't help to keep bringing that up. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I mean, I think if there's some, you know, if it's even remotely legit, I mean, that's an element that we need to kind of take into consideration.
Oh yeah, for sure. And what's interesting about the remdesivir is even the timing. You know, when you get put on a ventilator, which is what they do when they, you know, they give you the treatment. We're all kind of familiar with the treatment when you get COVID. You go get your remdesivir. You oftentimes you'll get put on a ventilator. Now, thinking of, let's just say that remdesivir is snake venom, right? Trace amounts of snake venom. You also get sedated. So the snake venom has a sedation property. It slows down your diaphragm. It essentially paralyzes the parts in your brain that work your diaphragm. So that's why. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, Ryan. I just wanted to say, if that's the part that actually kills you, it paralyzes your diaphragm, so you're not able to breathe.
Yes, and that was why it was so puzzling that smokers and things like this, and drinkers even, were like the lowest hospitalized people. You'd think that a virus like this would just decimate smokers. You know what I mean? But the reason why is because supposedly nicotine, and then there's other components out there, supplements like melatonin that block these receptors in your brain, make it so that you just the snake venom isn't going to touch those parts of your brain in the small amounts that they are given to us in. So yeah, it's again, going back to the remdesivir, you have the remdesivir, which is slowing down your diaphragm. You're slowly getting paralyzed. Then what do? They sedate you so that they can put you on a ventilator. The sedation drugs that they use are like fentanyl, morphine. Those have similar properties to snake venom. And they found out that giving people no more than 2 5-day doses of remdesivir would do the job, because the person dies on average on the 9th day.
Right.
So, you know, 10 days is one day extra. They've got it down to a science, exact science. And they found this out back in 2005, allegedly, because remdesivir has been around for a long time. Wasn't Fauci trying to prescribe that to AIDS patients?
Yeah, that was one of the drugs along with AZT.
Yeah.
That was also killing people.
They know what they're doing, man. And like I said, you just can't chalk all this up to chance. You really can't.
None of it. There's no fucking coincidences. Right. So, and I mean, just bring up the smoking thing. Right. So remember early on, we were talking and I had brought up that there was a French medical study that showed that smokers were 4 times less likely to get COVID-19. And this is all from the nicotine receptors that you have. Yeah, that doesn't allow it in. And then, like in my case, the O negative blood doesn't allow it in either. So, and then they brought up the whole thing when Fauci was saying, oh, now's a good time to quit smoking, because they knew that the nicotine was keeping this from working. So, and I mean, this French medical study, I mean, it's out there. It's out there. It's documented. You can go look it up. I mean, okay, 4 times less likely. That's a pretty big number.
Yeah.
That's like 25%, right? I mean, so now smokers, you know, are not getting sick. And this whole thing about with the COVID-19 is that they're not finding damage in your lungs from the COVID, but it's from the when they showed pictures of when they gave the snake venom to mice, how it attacks the alveoli. What is it called? The alveoli in your lungs or whatever.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. So it's just weird how, you know, some of these people are like, oh yeah, your lungs are clear. Well, why can't you breathe? Well, you can't breathe because your diaphragm's being paralyzed.
Well, I mean, it's a respiratory disease supposedly that ruins people's kidneys. You know what I mean? Like some people's kidneys are getting liquefied. You know what I mean? When they're all boosted up and everything. And it's similar. I think that you might have touched on this, Ron. If a snake bites you multiple times, your chances of surviving drop, quickly. You know what I mean? And you also have to keep in mind how much venom is going into you with an actual snake bite versus like the synthesized version, which they've also stabilized, supposedly provably with nanoparticle magnetic things, right? I mean, this is what the doctor was talking about. And that's why some people are seeing metallic properties in blood now. And, you know, we saw the videos going around where people are sticking magnets to the site of their injections. It's a lot. It's a lot of stuff that just makes sense. Anyone that hasn't seen it, I encourage you to check it out, right? I mean, at least, and then come up with your own theories because it makes a lot more sense than what Fauci was telling us all along, for sure. I'll say that.
Right. Yeah. You know, when you talk about the magnetic properties, like they have to use that to get this thing to work properly. And I think this is where the graphene oxide comes into play.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, it's just a lot of weird stuff going on with this. And again, and they're saying that it's in the vaccine as well. So is this like a triple dose of trying to kill you?
Well, and something that I was thinking, Ron, you know, you're mentioning the smoking. You don't have to smoke. You can take nicotine gum or lozenges, according to this theory, and also melatonin. But for how many years have, you know, medical professionals, quote unquote, how many years have they been trying to get people off of cigarettes? You know what I mean? And not saying obviously there's harmful effects on cigarettes to your health, but if this was a plan and knowing what we know about these people, how methodical they are and how in the future their plans are. I mean, this could have been planned when I show you Anthony Fauci's family crest. This could have been planned since the freaking biblical times, man. You know what I mean? Maybe this is how they you know, get rid of people. We know that there's been resets before. Maybe this is how they like to do it because it is very satanic at its roots. And I don't care what religion you are. I truly believe that our elites worship the Christian devil. I think that that's what they do. You just see it over and over again in pop culture and you see references to it all over the place. I wonder if the whole campaign to quit people smoking, you know, that started really hard in the 80s and 90s, really, really hard in the 2000s. I wonder if that was just part of this, man. You know what I mean? Get people off the nicotine.
Well, when you think about how this, you know, what's the one term that everybody says on this whole COVID-19 and the lockdowns and all this other stuff that's going on? What do they say? This is not about health. This is about control. So why would they care? Why would they care about your health even 30 years ago? Like, I think this is part of the long play. I'm agreeing with you on that, Ryan. Because when you start bringing in the biblical things, and we're going to talk about this tonight. So when this all comes down, this translates into the Pope's juice or the Pope's venom. And this could be an organized thing because we know how the Catholic Church was tied in with the Nazis, right? They were Nazi sympathizers. They helped them with the rat lines to get out of Germany. They also helped them with Operation Odessa and probably tied in with Paperclip as well to get them Nazis out of the country. So. But it all comes back to the Catholic Church. Now, I always remember people telling me and actually seeing little biblical books saying that the Pope was the Antichrist, right? And how the Catholic religion – and I mean, look at how Catholics were discriminated against in America, like big time. Like
Irish Catholics, big time, yeah.
And it was a big thing for John Kennedy to be the first Catholic president.
I actually said that – I talked about that extensively in my Pilgrims episode because these are WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Those are the true elites, and then they kind of hate on the Catholics for whatever reason, even though it's just like a few degrees of separation.
Right. There's not much difference between the two of them. But when you start thinking about – now, start thinking about some of the symbolism that we see with the Pope, with Vatican City – when you see the, what's their big like Luciferian reptilian sculptures that they have in the Vatican. I mean, and then when we do the reading, of course, we know that, you know, the reptile is always put off as something evil. It was the evil thing in the Garden of Eden. The snake has always been associated with anything as evil as far as religion goes, and mostly in Catholicism as well. So, you know, what is the connection between Baal, when you're talking about Baal worship, right? And using the snake and things like that. So, I mean, is all this biblical stuff coming in? And I know it's a stretch, but all this biblical stuff now coming forward a couple of thousand years, and finally these revelations are going to come together where they're actually using the power of the snake to depopulate the world, to get rid of the people that they don't want, the useless eaters, you know, the non-elite like what we are. And I mean, when you really start thinking about all that, it just all fits together. And that's the scary thing about it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that everything that these guys are saying, like take out the debunking part. Like, can they put this in the municipal water supply? Yeah, they can fucking do anything they want, right? They can put it in the air. Remember, we had a theory that they were spraying COVID-19 in us in the chemtrails.
Yeah.
I mean, and now we're hearing that they can inject the vaccine into vegetables. So for us people that don't want to take the vaccine, you know, eat healthy. You won't get COVID-19. So now you're eating lettuce that's got the vaccine in it. So you're getting vaccinated automatically. I mean, all of this stuff could go back to this Luciferian depopulation eugenics program, which we know came from the Nazis. It's just amazing to me listening to the first Mike Adams interview. That's when it clicked with me more so than the Stu Peters one. The first Mike Adams ones really clicked to me. Now, I know these guys are all like fear porn. Like they like love to. Mike Adams is huge time into fear porn, right? He was the one that pushed they're going to come to your door. And if you don't take the vaccine, they're going to shoot you in the head or they're going to take you to an internment camp. So, I mean, these guys, you know, no matter how you look at it, I mean, I listen to his shows, but I mean, it is fear porn and everything like that. So we know that they're selling their, you know, their food, they're selling their meds, they're selling this, they're selling that. Alex Jones, all these X-22, all these guys are in the same boat, right? But a lot of what he says ends up being legit. And this is what gives me some validity to this Dr. Artist that come on his show, because Mike Adams is spending a lot of time getting this information out there. So yeah. And it all fits. And remember when Brandon, we used to joke with Brandon when he would say, well, it's Occam's razor.
Yeah.
And we used to laugh at him. But basically what that means is the most simplest answer is probably the right answer.
Yeah.
And I think this is what we're up against with this information that's coming out right now. Hey, listen, I don't want to spread fear any more than anybody else, but we are conspiracy theorists. So, I mean, we have to listen to these programs and try to decipher. It tried to discern what could be true, what could be psyop. But if these revelations are 80% true or legit, dude, this is big. Like, this is big.
I would argue even if 1% of this shit is true, it's very, very, very bad. Really quick, while I'm kind of rambling here, would you mind allowing me to share screen? What you do is you go to just like the same way that you allowed me to record. And it should say either share local files or share screen. But and I want to show you some pictures and then we can describe them for the listeners here. But Occam's razor, I do think, is a good explanation for some things, but not always. I think that, you know, whoever created that could have been wanting to push people in the direction of, yeah, don't think too much. You know, just whatever's the easiest possibility here is, you know, what's reality. You know, there's no deep plans here to kill you. It's like the memes you see where it's like the sheep is saying, or the cow is saying, like, hey, I think this guy's trying to kill us. And then they're like, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You know what I mean?
I agree, Ryan. Listen, I think you're good to share your screen. Did you try it?
Host disabled participant screen sharing. Let's see.
All right, let me click on multiple participants.
Try that. Okay. Yeah, there you go. That should be good here. Yeah. Okay. So this, you're speaking of the satanic agenda over at the Vatican. This is a statue of Moloch at the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a satanic god, right? This is about child sacrifice. This is about some really negative things. You see sort of a Star David or a Thelemic type symbol with the eye inside of it. Moloch with wings, meaning like Moloch is holy. Looks like some portals in its hands. It's demonic, man. And you see this at the Vatican. This is the Vatican side that's pointing at the Colosseum. So definitely not a positive thing as far as Christianity goes. And then this next thing that I want to show you here too. Can you see my Instagram here, Ron?
I can see your screen, yes.
It says Eugenia A. Fauci?
Yep.
Okay, so this was the really interesting thing. And I posted this on Instagram. So if anyone wants to see it, Dangerous World Pod on Instagram. Fauci's mother, a lot of us thought it was Mother Teresa, and it very well could be. That could be his biological mother. But what, like, the paperwork shows.
I already see where you're going with this.
Yes, and wait till you see the damn crest. So Eugenia A. Fauci, her, you know, Fauci, Anthony Fauci's supposed mother is originally Eugenia A. Abyss with one S. It's probably pronounced Abbeys or whatever, but we're going to say it's Abyss, like hell, right? And then you go further and you look at their family crest, the Abyss family crest. Okay, this is in Switzerland. You see Abyss right here. You see a big snake eating a child.
Yep.
Carrying what kind of looks like two water buckets. So that could be fitting into the water. But yeah, this is the Abyss family seal. It's wild to see.
Okay, so check something else. Go back to the screen before that.
Okay.
Eugenia, her name. Take the A off the end and put a C there.
Wow.
Eugenia. Wow.
Okay. There you go. Damn. I didn't even see that eugenic.
I thought that's where you were going originally.
Well, no. And I mean, that's a brilliant thing. You should comment that on my Instagram here. Cause yeah, I didn't even catch that. I'll probably add that into the comments, but yeah, or into the caption, but yeah. I'm trying to look at the other names now and see if I can find anything. Giovanni and Raffaella are her parents. Yeah, I'm not seeing much there, obviously, but
yeah, like because like eugenics is spelled E-U-G-E-N-I-C, eugenic.
Yeah.
And her name is Eugenia. So if you take the A off and replace it with a C, you get eugenics. And we know that this is a eugenics program. And where did eugenics come from? Like, where was, you know, the Nazis, right?
You could argue the Greeks, but the Nazis are the ones that really, really pushed it. And
a lot of Americans, too. Sorry to interrupt you, but a lot of Americans. Aldous Huxley, Margaret Sanger, who was an associate of Adolf Hitler, who started Planned Parenthood, which now brings the Gates into it because the Gates were tied into Planned Parenthood. Ryan, all this shit is connected.
Yeah,
it really is.
That was a good catch, Ron, the eugenics part. Because, yeah, and my point to the whole thing was that there's something with Italy. You have the Italy Gate, which is where, I mean, they're supposedly the ones that changed all the ballots for the 2020 election. You've got this weird stuff that we see over at the Vatican, constant allegations and constant things actually being proved to be true. Fauci could freaking be the Antichrist, man. Like, you know what I mean? They say that the final pope, according to Catholicism, the final pope is supposed to be the Antichrist. So, you know, who's to say it's not? I don't know, man. It's so confusing, but I did feel a sense of, like, clarity after this documentary came out. Not saying it's true, but a lot of things started making sense, like with the melatonin. We were taking melatonin like crazy. Me and Kim both were taking melatonin because it was tough to sleep. And I didn't get sick until recently, as far as I know. She smokes cigarettes like a chimney. I don't, but, you know, every once in a while I'll take a puff or something. But a lot of things started making sense, man.
Yeah, you know, want to hear something else interesting about Fauci, another conspiracy theory or whatever. One of my listeners had messaged me and she says, oh, did you hear that Anthony Fauci got arrested on Saturday? Okay. And I'm like, no, I haven't heard that. Okay. I said, obviously, they're not going to report that on mainstream media. And she says, well, USA Today is not denying it. So,
wow,
I need to look into that as well. Again. You know, and it's almost like our shows, like we're the new, the tabloids. We're the new Inquirer, right? Because we get all this news that we try to take in and we try to, you know, try to figure out if it's legit or not. I mean, I think we do a pretty good job of it, but there's just so many things that fall into place with these documentaries.
Well, so listen to this. This is back in 2021. He was arrested in June, which I never heard about, by supposedly Navy SEALs. That doesn't make sense. But yeah, that, I mean, when you type that in on Bing, which is Microsoft, that was the first thing that pops up. It's Dark Outpost, which I've never even heard of them. But I'm scrolling down Political Effect. Everything else is no. Dr. Fauci was not arrested. Special Forces arrest Deep State Dr. Anthony Fauci. Yeah, the fact checkers are all saying it's not true, of course. But yeah, man, that definitely merits something to look into. But I mean, I remember when they were saying that the Pope was arrested.
Oh my God,
and
yes.
Bill Gates was arrested and all these things. So it does suck that when we hear these things, we automatically go to like, oh, hell no. You know what I mean? We've been lied to so many times by both sides.
We blow it off. Yeah, we blow it off. Look at how many stories we heard about the Alliance from David Halfcock. David Wilcock. We call him David Halfcock. the Alliance, the White Hats, again, getting back into QE. You know, how all they're all Hillary Clinton was at a tribunal at Gitmo. Come on, this is all horseshit. I don't know why these people or who they are. Or why they think that anybody is going to believe that. But sadly, there's a huge faction of people that just suck that shit up.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, did Anthony Fauci should be arrested?
Yeah. In a fair world. And it's clickbait, Ron. You know what I mean? All these, and it sucks that that's how we run our internet, is that, you know, the crazy articles. There is a lot saying that he was, though, back in June of 2021, which, and they're still left up. And there's no one really debunking that. They're just debunking this new one. But then I'm seeing one right here from Daily Newsbreak that is saying that it happened. So, I mean, we'll have to see him on TV, right? And then even if we see him on TV, it could be a freaking face swap. They're getting insanely good with these deep fakes.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's crazy. So, yeah, you know, go ahead.
All right. I was just thinking, let's look into something a little bit more. And I just lost my train of thought. God damn it.
Bing Liu, were you going to mention?
Oh, let's talk about Bing Liu. You got some info on that. And this is talked about in the first interview that he did with Stu Peters, that this Bing Liu was a professor that was, and I want to say at a university in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was doing research on snake venom and somehow or other came up with the idea that this COVID-19 could be tied in with the snake venom.
That was one thing I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Did you actually see them confirm that he was researching snake venom? Because I did not.
Just going by the interview, Ryan.
They really made it. So if you listen to the interview, they really kind of led you in the direction that that was what he was working on. But they, I mean, even our artist doesn't explicitly say that Bing Liu was working on a snake and COVID connection. He never says that. He just says that they were working on genetic coding connections between COVID. And he was about to release some bombshell news. And his partner in crime, his business partner, killed him and then went into his own car and shot himself.
Hmm.
Doesn't make sense. But I was going to see if you actually explicitly heard that he was working on the snake stuff.
Just going by what they said in the interview, again, this is the whole thing that we need to – I mean, this is all fresh. This stuff's only been out for a couple of days, right? Yeah. So we need to look into it a little bit deeper. But what I do find interesting is that Moderna is got a lot of funding together, not that they need any extra money from all the money they've made off the COVID vaccine.
No kidding.
That they're going to be starting some venom research facility in California.
San Francisco, right? Ophirix, I think.
Okay, so why is there all these snake venom research facilities popping up with literally millions and millions of dollars behind them for so what they say is only about 100,000 people a year get bit by snakes.
Well, yeah, and that's what's really interesting, and you know, it's not just Moderna. You've got Pfizer, Merck, BTG. all these, you know, the title of this article here on Digital Journal, Anti-Venom Market, how companies accelerating their growth by adapting new trends. So is this a new trend? Is snake biting going to become a new trend? Are we going to go from 100,000 worldwide, not just in the country, but worldwide, right? How many people are affected by snake bites? We can actually fact check that right now, probably, according to these liars on here. How many people get bitten by snakes? Let's see. Yearly. 7,000 to 8,000 in the United States.
Yeah.
So, and then worldwide, it's probably about 100,000 going off those 5 million.
Well, that's a fair number.
Every year. Okay. Well, if we're talking 5 million worldwide, that's a little higher, but I mean, you know that they're not going to send these to poor countries. You know what I mean? You got to buy this stuff. So people in poorer countries are probably getting bitten by these things a lot. But yeah, here's a complete list of companies that are really expanding into anti-venom things, right? You got BTG, Laboratorios, which I'm assuming is in Latin America somewhere, CSL, Pfizer, Merck, Bharat Serums and Vaccines Limited, Hofkein Biopharmaceutical Corporation, Vins Bioproducts Limited, Incepta Pharmaceuticals, and Rare Disease Therapeutics, Inc. So that's a complete list as of today. This article, I think, came out on the 4th.
I think it's fair to say, though, that using snake venom for medicinal reasons, that's not new.
No.
That is not new. That's been around for quite a while. I never knew that until I started looking into it. But they've used that for making antibodies and stuff like that. And what's interesting is that if you get bit by a snake, they put you on these I keep calling it monoclonal
antibodies. And there's also polyclonal antibodies, which are that's why I looked into what monoclonal antibodies are actually anti-venomous.
Yeah,
because I was thinking that he was saying that polyclonal antibodies, which are obviously different than monoclonals, but monoclonals fit right in with them too, as far as anti-venomous.
Well, don't you find it interesting that Biden is shutting down all those clinics all over the country?
Which ones?
The monoclonal therapeutic.
Yeah,
yeah, man. Down all over the country, like never they were keeping all that stuff. And they were going to limit it to certain places. And then we got into this pissing contest with DeSantis in Florida about shutting down the places in Florida. And DeSantis is like, we'll just source it ourselves. We don't need any help from the government. It just seems weird how it's targeted. Back then, it was targeted against Florida. It was targeted against Texas, which are both what we call free states. Mm-hmm. Right. So now if this is an anti-venom treatment, COVID-19 is snake venom. This is why these treatments and these therapeutics work. Now, I have a good friend of mine that lives in Florida whose son got COVID, went to one of these clinics, and he was feeling better within a day.
Yeah, you know what's weird is, you know, the powers that be, the you know, ever present they, as we like to call them, they, right?
Yeah.
They are bitching about the horse paste ivermectin, and then they're going to remove all the human ivermectin. That's going to push people that believe in this monoclonal antibody theory into the animal medications. And if you do take a lot of those, it can be harmful to you because they're obviously meant for animals. I took some when I was sick, you know, the first time back in, it was actually when my parents were sick and I took it as a precaution. I just took like a little spoon, basically. Yeah. It tastes horrible. It tastes like poison, but I think that it is. I think that it is poison. It kills things that are living in your body, basically.
Well, it's antiparasitic.
Yeah, well, and then apparently anti-venomous too, according to this theory, right? So there's all kinds of different properties to it. But at the very least, if we're going to follow that Occam's razor thing, this is about money, and that's pretty darn evil too. Whether there's anti-venomous properties to the ivermectin itself, and that's why is because the snake venom in COVID-19, and they're trying to, you know, remove proper treatment. That's a little more of an out there theory. I'm starting to realize that's a possibility for sure. But at the very least, it's about money, and it's about these pharmaceutical companies gaining more and more power for the technocracy.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Okay, so if hydroxychloroquine, they don't want you using that. They don't want you using ivermectin, and I wish I could remember the name of the other one.
There's, they sell it on Quercetin.
Okay, that could be one, but that's not the one I'm thinking of. It starts with an N. Okay, why do you have to outlaw these? And I'm not saying it's technically outlawed, but they took them off the market. Like we know Tylenol doesn't cure COVID-19. That's not off the market. People still take that. Advil, aspirin, all these other things that people take to try to feel better when you're in pain or whatever. Like this doesn't cure COVID-19. But we think that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are very helpful in either killing COVID-19 or reducing the symptoms. Why would they make those so goddamn hard to take, to buy? I mean, that makes no sense. I know there's a lot of states that are switching. I think New Hampshire is one of them, where you're going to be able to, again, get ivermectin. I don't know about hydroxychloroquine. But I mean, hydroxychloroquine, that's just medicalized quinine. Mm-hmm. And that's what's used to find in the tonic water. And this is where the drink gin and tonic came from, was because the British soldiers and their rations, when they were out colonizing the world, being imperialistic like the United States.
Toxic masculinity.
Yeah, they would give them gin in their rations, and they gave them the quinine. And they said, take the quinine to keep you from getting malaria, for instance. So they're like, oh, my God, this stuff tastes awful. Let's mix it with some gin. So this is where the drink, believe it or not, gin and tonic comes from. So we know these things work for certain things. And even Anonymous Sean, and we'll probably touch on it in the show tonight, has said that that whatever this is, it's parasitic. It's parasitic, and this is why these anti-parasitic meds work. So it's just, the whole thing is just interesting. And again, with the vaccine, you know, you're getting shot up with graphene oxide, you're getting shot up with, you know, the mRNA technology, which is what they're using the snake venom in. I mean, that's no secret. You can look that up online. But again, back to the theory that they're going to poison the municipal water supplies with it, and it's just going to finish everybody off. I think that part of it is a stretch. I mean, I'm willing to go along with that it could be in the COVID-19. And what did they say that the COVID-19, the CV stands for COVID, cobra venom, 19 proteins.
Yeah.
Again, they just make it fit. They make it fit. So this is why I'm still on the fence with this whole story. But I mean, it's interesting nonetheless. Or as you would say, Ryan.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Well, and you know, were you saying it was Sean that is convinced that this is 100% parasitic. Bacterial or parasitic?
Parasitic, yeah.
That, I hate to say it again, and if Matt's listening, sorry, but I mean, that fits in with Brucella. That is literally what they say, that, you know, Lyme disease, all these different things, whether it's the flu, whether it's AIDS, all these things stem from parasites, which is... It's a weird concept to think that AIDS can come from a parasite. But these are, you know, microscopic parasites. We don't know the deepest, darkest secrets of science. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know that there could be like little tiny freaking demon looking things that are microscopic that are, you know, responsible for infecting us with all these different diseases. And they say that it comes from this synthesized ancient bacteria that the Nazis synthesized. So I don't know, man, it all fits in. And I would say there's no definitive proof that COVID is parasitic in nature, especially when you see that the parasitic drugs work, but if they also have anti-venom properties in them, it could be one or the other. I mean, take your pick, and you're probably not wrong. Maybe it's little column A, little column B.
Yeah. You know, it's just the whole thing is we're into this for 2 years now. And we're still trying to figure it out. And this is how good, if the deep state is behind this is how good they are at hiding things. And not only that, this is, like I said before, this is a long game. This is nothing they came up with at Event 201 and decided that 2 months later that they're going to unleash it on the world. No, this shit's been around for a long time. And we know that the vaccine was around way before Operation Warp Speed. You know, like I am a fan of Trump. I don't think he's our savior. I don't know what he's doing. It doesn't look like he's doing anything other than having his rallies and things like that. But you know, why isn't anything being done about any of this? Why isn't anything being looked into? All we get is bullshit stories left and right. We don't get any definitive answers. We get no definitive action. We don't see anything happening. And this is what leads me to believe that this is way bigger than people ever want to believe. And then you've got all the people that'll just sit back and say, oh, no, this is a virus that came from China. It's making everybody sick. Do your part. Wear your mask. Don't hang out with anybody. Stay locked into your house, except for, going to Home Depot or Walmart. It's okay to go there. Mm-hmm. And definitely don't go to church, because this whole thing with the snake venom, believe it or not, could have a biblical connection. It could have a biblical connection to the actual end times, right? Again, yeah. Just a theory. But I mean, when all these pieces start falling into place, it's like, somebody would have had to sit back and say, well, maybe we should tell them all this, and then they'll believe it more. And maybe that's what they're doing. But I mean, I don't know. It's so confusing. Ryan, I haven't slept like at all in the last two nights thinking about this.
Really?
And I know we should. Well, I mean, I sleep, but I mean, I never wake up. Like, I wake up at like 3:30, use the restroom, go back to bed. I'm good till 6 o'clock. But now I'm waking up at midnight. I'm waking up at 2. I'm waking up at 4, because I'm thinking about this. I'm trying to figure this out. And a lot of people, like even friends of mine, say, you're wasting your time on this. Like, you're wasting your time on this. You shouldn't even let it into your mind. It's just more smoke and mirrors. And I mean, it could be, but that's just not how I think about it. I mean, I think there's something to this. Again,
it's such a boring show that it would be if everything that came about would be not real. No, this is a psyop. This is a psyop. This is a psyop. Yeah. Come on, some of this stuff we got to entertain and at least talk about it. Neither one of us, to anyone that's listening, they can tell neither one of us are on board with this theory. And we're saying, don't drink the water. I'm drinking a gallon water myself just because I do want to learn more about it. You have well water, which is a freaking, you're lucky for that. Yeah, man. I don't think anything's a waste of time if you're interested in it. If it could bring some information or even just more theories to talk about, I learned a ton of stuff watching those two presentations, the Mike Adams one and the Stu Peters one. Some of them are facts, like scientific facts with the monoclonal antibodies and the antiviral properties. Knowledge is power, man. You know what I mean? Like, we're just learning more stuff, and then we're down the road, we'll maybe be able to string some more things together a little quicker. And if this comes out to be total BS, hey, it's not like we got fooled, because we're just saying this is a possibility.
Yeah. Ryan, you and I touched on something the other day when we talked, when you asked me, how are you feeling? How everybody's feeling down. Everybody's restless. Everybody's can't get enough sleep. Everybody's thinking of this impending doom. And this is a feeling that I get when there's something big is going to happen, and it's been really strong for a couple of weeks now. So,
yeah.
I mean, is it just my psyche getting so used to getting so much crap thrown at us? Like, every day is something new. I mean, a lot of listeners out there, if you're experiencing some of these things that Ryan and I are talking about, like that, just knowing something is going to happen. When the foot's going to drop, what is going to happen? I don't know. I have this overwhelming feeling. And I mean, obviously, it's not the first time I've had this feeling. But I think we're coming to a point where, we already got the little bit of reprieve. All these states are opening back up. Now I'm getting emails from the kids' schools saying, oh, now COVID cases are back on the rise in the schools.
Yeah. Fauci's talking about it.
Might have to mask up again. Might have to this. Might be future lockdowns. Do you think, Ryan, like I do, that this reprieve that we're getting is just all based around the midterm elections? And then I have a theory that these midterm elections may not even happen.
That's what I thought initially, is that these things aren't going to happen. I don't see why they would have to do all of this stuff in order to make that happen. If they do have all this power, why would they have to slowly get us into it? Because all they would need to do, especially with Biden, his popularity is so low right now. Oh, it can't get much lower. So if there was, God forbid, some sort of massive false flag in a major population metropolis, let's say a fake bomb that they blame on Russia, right? Biden can just enact martial law right away emergency powers or whatever. And yeah, you're not going to have elections ever again if that, as long as, because they can roll it out indefinitely. They can just be like, yeah, it's only 6 months. Look at what COVID, 2 weeks to flatten the curve or whatever.
Yeah.
They rolled that out for damn near 2 years. It could be that for sure. I definitely, definitely see some sort of correlation with the strict nature of the lockdowns again. But unless the Democrats just have every intention on stealing, which I believe they do. I really do believe they do. And I've tried to not get into that left versus right paradigm so much anymore after being so let down by Trump, who just endorsed Dr. Oz, by the way. I don't know if you saw that. That's freaking wild.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Weird. The other guy that he was running against was a Bush crony, and he hates the Bushes, supposedly. I think they're probably all friends, but we'll see. Yeah, man. Where was I at? I think that, yeah, definitely we see the popularity of these Democrats will just plummet even further. But if they have some plans to enact some sort of you know, wartime power or anything like that, that wouldn't matter. I mean, I don't know if you saw that none of the Democrats are paying their dues for elections. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that, but that's interesting.
That's the thing that I reported on my little news. I do the little quick YouTube news hits. Mm-hmm. And they have a point system. Nancy Pelosi consistently raises a ton of money for the Democrats. And what the point system is, basically buys them favors. If they want to write a bill, they'll get more votes on it if they have higher points. And they pay their dues not to run in their own elections. But that looked cool when you blew that smoke out on your screen.
Yeah.
It looked like a ghost, a specter. Let's say AOC, she's going to win, obviously. Some of the money that she raises will go to a more contested election, right? But none of the money is being raised, and none of the money is being put in by the politicians themselves. They're not paying their dues. Nancy Pelosi is one of the only ones that done it. Eric Swalwell was supposed to raise like $400,000. He raised only $1,200. You know what I mean? They don't care. And they were doing the same exact thing with the 2019-2020 run. Only 11 Democrats paid their dues that year. And look what happened in the 2020 election for president. So I don't think it means much, but I just think that it shows that they are just becoming completely brazen. They could care less about the rules of how the politics works and the democracy that they try to protect so much. They could care less about how that system works because they're dead set on winning. Pelosi said she's not going to give up. Even if, you know, the Democrats lose, she ordered no Democrats to secede or concede or whatever. Man, they just don't care. And it's sad. It's really an unfortunate situation. If they just enacted policies that their constituents liked, they would get voted in.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah. The problem is when they get elected, they don't work for the constituents, Ryan. That's the whole problem with politics now. They get in there and they're concerned about themselves. I mean, look at all the shit that's going on. They stole that 2020 election. And who's to say that they just can't use that revamp technology to steal the 2024 election, or in this case, the 2022 midterms? I mean, so, but again, this is another psychological operation against us people that are like, well, why go vote? It doesn't make any difference. It's just going to steal it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, this is almost like, me too. So it's like, they want us to fall into that.
Yeah.
They want us to be so disillusioned with the voting process that we just don't bother to do it. Well, then it's just going to win anyways, even without cheating.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? You know, Brandon actually said that one time when we were talking on an episode. It's like, man, it's like, there's no point for Republicans to go out and vote. And Brandon said, well, that's good. I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I really don't like that attitude where it's a left versus right, my politics versus your politics. I've been saying this lately. Voting for any politician is like, you know, watching a football game and voting for the referee to win. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, you're not supposed to be like that. You're not supposed to be like, I love AOC. I feel embarrassed of how on the Trump train I was, but it was such an appealing thing that it didn't feel like he was a politician. You know what I mean? It felt like he was like, you know, a buddy in there or something, which is what a good cult leader does. They make you feel like they're looking out for you. And we didn't get a darn thing, man. We actually lost some gun rights. We're in a more tyrannical state than when he entered. Sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing is just, you know, when you talk about martial law and Biden going to enact martial law, I mean, look at the mass exodus from the White House. And this is even if you believe that they're even in the White House, right? Psaki's leaving. Obviously, they're going to give her a bigger paycheck to be on MSNBC to go ahead and spread more of her fucking lies. Yeah. You got Kamala Harris as chief of staff. He's leaving, saying that she's a bully. Well, she's a bully because she knows that she's out of her element.
I did. That's another thing I reported on in my news thing. She supposedly, she's very dumb. I mean, we see this, right? I heard you and Buckley talking about the passage of time is passage of time. The passage of time is significant with the passage of time. You know, that'd be a great, that's a t-shirt right there, dude. I'm going to make a t-shirt that just says the passage of time on it.
I think, you know, I think if we could really see poll numbers, like real poll numbers, they'd probably be in the negative numbers. I mean, I don't know anybody that voted for Joe Biden that can actually come out and say with a fucking straight face that he's doing a good job. I mean, look at where we're at. I mean, I'm raising a family. Groceries have gone up probably 30-40%, believe it or not. Electricity rates, of course, New Hampshire has one of the highest electricity rates in the country. And then we're hearing that now, while our property taxes are going up again, we're the fourth highest in property tax in the country. I mean, where's it going to stop? They're just sucking people freaking dry, and it's going to stop. So this is where it comes in, where if they try to enact martial law, I think that's when you're going to see the revolution happen, because people are so far at the end of their rope right now. They're like a chain dog, a chain pit bull, or Rottweiler. And I like to say Rottweilers because you and I are big pit bull owners.
Yeah, mine wouldn't fight very well, I don't think.
Well, I think if you came into my house and started getting aggressive, my female would chew you a new asshole.
Yeah, mine would too.
I just really think so. But what I'm saying is, when you bring a dog to the – now, my dogs don't go on chains, but you bring a dog to the end of its chain and you put him in a corner, dude, you're going to get bit.
Yeah.
And this, I think, is what's happening with the American people right now. We're being put in a corner. We're at the end of our chain, and we're fucking done. And when you start messing with our food, now we're hungry and we're angry and we're pissed off. Now you're really going to get bit. Does the American government want that?
I mean, think
about that.
I think that they don't care, unfortunately. That's my opinion. And I agree with everything you say. I just think that we as Americans have a lot further down we could slide before we're at that point where we'll fight. I mean, I don't want to say too much about it, but I if someone started something, you know, I think a lot of people would jump on board with it. It's just we have that prisoner complex where you know, we think that we're going to try and start something and no one's going to help us. You know what I mean? But those people at the top, they all have each other's backs. You know what I mean? They all have each other's backs. So They're kind of, you know, I think the Republicans and the Democrats and the political powers are more aligned than humanity is. You know what I mean? We don't have our shit together. Food is going to skyrocket in price because of what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. We just won't see it for a little while. But I mean, a ton of grain comes out of there, man. A ton of grain and a ton of sunflower oil. So
Ukraine is the breadbasket of the world.
Yep.
I mean, that's why the Nazis wanted Ukraine, because that's where they were able to get a lot of food. Same thing with Czechoslovakia. You know, this is, they had to feed their people. And this is the same thing. I mean, and not only that, but, you know, talk about say, oh, well, we can grow enough wheat here. Yeah, but unfortunately, we buy a lot of our fertilizer from Russia and from Ukraine and from Belarus.
Yeah.
And without fertilizers, your crop yield is not going to be what it typically is. I mean, I can see a problem happening. And now, what's the other big thing, right? The avian flu now. In New Hampshire, the state of New Hampshire is going around and they're euthanizing people's geese, people's chickens, people's turkeys.
With because the bird of this. Flu. You know, they're using the PCR test for that too?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. So, yeah, and we don't think that the PCR test works. You can't isolate a virus with the PCR test.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do they know for sure these birds have avian flu?
But well, I want to say,
well, they're talking, right? I don't mean to interrupt you, but
no, yeah.
They're talking that it's going to hit our poultry industry.
Of course it is. I mean, there's already a chicken wing shortage, you know what I mean? Which, well,
that's been going on since the beginning of COVID. I mean, buy chicken wings. They have like $5 a pound for chicken wings, but you can buy chicken thighs for 99 cents a pound or less.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what's, you know, it's funny you bring that up. We wanted chicken wings the other day and I just bought drums, you know what I mean? And cooked them the same way that I would cook chicken wings. You know, deep fry them, throw them in the oven. Came out great. They were actually juicier. They were bomb. They were like nice and crispy on the outside. There's one thing I want to say. And I don't know when you want to wrap. I can talk all day, Ron, but it's if you don't think that our government or like our food industry, our FDA or whatever, whoever controls this stuff, let's say we can grow our own food. and we can grow, you know, fruits. Let's just use a watermelon as an example, because this is what I used in my own example. If Europe doesn't have any food, you know, Germany, our allies over there, UK, all those guys, if they don't have food, if they can't grow their own food because of the chaos going over there, and they haven't seen a watermelon in months, and they're willing to pay three times what Americans are willing to pay for a watermelon, don't think our government won't send that watermelon over there for them to eat. You know what I mean? And then that's when our supply goes down, our demand's going to go up. That makes price skyrocket. So just because we feel like the Ukraine's on the other side of the world, and it is, doesn't mean it's not going to hit us. It's going to be rough, dude. And, you know, I think that that's why it is kind of important to look into this sort of, I hate using the word spiritual, but just getting close to whatever you think is right in the universe. You know what I mean? Whether it's God, whether it is the universe, whatever makes you feel comfortable, like to where if you were going to die, you're not scared of it. Not saying that anyone's going to die. Again, not pushing fear porn here, but we don't have a lot of control over what's going on. So just fucking, you know, settle in. It's going to be a while.
Yeah. I think it makes sense for people to prepare a little bit. Now, I'm not a prepper by any stretch, but when we shop, we buy a few extra things. I mean, you know, we like to go, you know, I don't like to do big shopping every week. You know, we'll buy stuff that's good for 2-3 weeks or whatever. But I think we might be looking at a stretch where it could be 2 or 3 months. Right. I mean, we're just getting into the growing season here.
Yeah.
You know, typically in New England, you don't start your gardens. You know, the rule was always Memorial Day weekend. But the way that the weather is, we start like end of April, beginning of May when we start planting our plants. And hopefully we don't get a frost. You know, I mean, that's typically a fall thing, not a spring thing. But I mean, it's still the possibility is there. And we get a lot of rain this time of year, which isn't real good for crops either. So, but I think people should smarten up. I think they should pay attention to what's going on. And I agree with you on the spiritual thing. People need to start thinking less about just themselves and think of everything as a whole. Now, when you talk about how things, we're in a global economy. So, to what you said about Ukraine, Ukraine's on the other side of the world. What do we care? Well, we got to care because in a global economy, one global conflict disrupts the global economy. And this is what we're looking at right now. Russia now is putting a ruble back on the gold standard, which is going to kill the petrodollar, which the petrodollar has been on life support for years anyway. So you know, so we got that to look forward to. So now we're hearing about cashless society, then we're hearing about the social credit score, then we're hearing about all these other things. Banks doing bail-ins, taking your money. You know, people are trying to take their money out of the banks. Now the government wants to know, you know, everything that's over $600. I mean, these are all the things that people get thinking, they get bouncing around in their heads. And I think this is part of the reason why people are getting so fucking depressed about everything, is because they're like, there's no end in sight. Where's the end? Where is the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, I'm not seeing a light right now at the end of the tunnel, but I am at the same time. I feel like I am a little more prepared. Unlike some of these bigger, you know, massive podcasts, we don't have like a storable food sponsor or a water filter sponsor. At least I don't. I know, you know, you would be honest with your audience if you did too. I just think that it just makes sense, man. It makes sense to buy this stuff. I need to get a good water filter and probably a couple of them actually. Got a little bit of food, man. I think that having storable food is the move right now. The guy from the Big Short, Michael Burry.
Oh, I wanted to talk about that. Glad you brought that up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I told you this, right? His big investment now is in fresh water. Mm-hmm. That should terrify people, because for those that don't know, this guy called the mortgage meltdown of 2008 and 2009 that no one saw coming. I mean, a lot of people saw coming, but he actually timed it, and he made a ton of money.
He shorted the housing market stocks for his investors, cost him a lot of money to do it, because shorting stocks costs money in the beginning, but he literally made billions of dollars for his investors on this deal. Mm-hmm. Now, and this guy's a little eccentric, right? Even on the autism spectrum a little.
Yeah,
bit.
He's a little out there like that.
He's a little different, but he's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
And when a genius like this is investing in fresh water, that should be a red flag to most people. Now, I'm fortunate. I have an artesian well, and I also, on one of my properties, I have a dug well that tests awesome every year. So I'm going to be okay for water. Now, my wife won't drink my tap water. And I tell her, I said, you know, we have a water bubbler in the house. And that's fine. Her and little G, they drink out of that. I never do. I drink right off the tap because, you know, that water that comes out of the ground. And of course, in New Hampshire, they call it the granite state. All that is filtered through granite. It's filtered around granite. You're getting those minerals. You're getting the things, you know, in the earth, those earth minerals that your body requires, and you're getting that. Now, I do have filters in my water system because we have high iron content in our water, but I'm not afraid to drink my water out of my well. I mean, if it's good enough for my dogs, it's good enough for me. That's how I look at it. But you take people that live in cities, they don't have that option. Right.
Well, and even if someone does have clean water like you do, they recommend getting a water filter to run it through anyway, because if medical shit's down and all this stuff is down, supposedly after, like, you know, in a grid down scenario where there's no electricity, no, you know, modern technology, supposedly after day five of a crisis like that, waterborne illness becomes the number one cause of death. Uh-huh. So, you know, even if you think it's 100% safe, run it through a filter, because if you get sick, you're not going to be able to go to the hospital and get worked on. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. There's great channels out there where you can look into this information. And it's scary to think about. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we're not meant to live in fear as humans. Right. Yeah. Obviously, we get angry about this stuff. I don't even have kids, but I worry so much about the kids in the future, man. I have a little sister. She's 18. So she's technically an adult, but I'll never see her that way. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's just, it sucks. And then that whole thing with the water fits in with the COVID poisoning of the water, right? I mean, if this dude happens to know this information about some venom going in our water supplies in the cities, yeah. I mean, fresh water is going to skyrocket in value because people are going to realize, hey, Johnny is drinking the tap water and he's sicker than a dog right now. And I'm drinking out of water, and people are going to make this connection. It's not going to be overnight, but people will make those connections and be like, yeah, this dude's kidneys shut down from, you know, drinking water. And this dude, well, same thing happened to him, and he happens to drink the same water, and people are going to piece that together over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You know, even if I took water out of my dug well, and I mean, the old dude that he lived to be 90 something years old that lived on the property, that was his well his whole life. I mean, he lived to be in his 90s. I still would probably put it through some distillation process or boil it or whatever to make sure it was okay if I was going to cook with it or whatever. But I would let my dogs drink it. I mean, we test that well every year. We have a big arsenic problem in New England. We have a lot of arsenic in our water. Actually, we just had our well water tested, and it came in with levels of arsenic that are way below the threshold. So, yeah. I mean, it's all good. We also have radon, which is a big deal around granite, too.
That's kind of a nuclear type thing, right? Or not nuclear, but it gives off it'll trigger a Geiger counter, right?
So uranium also comes from granite as
yes.
well. Yeah, grows into granite.
I'm glad that you mentioned the distillation thing, because supposedly that's one way that you can drink tap water safely, is if you run it through a distiller. And I saw some distillers online. They range in prices, but you can pick one up for a few hundred bucks, like three. We're talking like a decent one for like 500. You can get a cheaper one for, you know, like 200-300 too, though. But I'm going to look into one of those, man, because I don't know if they need electricity. I'm sure they freaking do. But
they need a heat source. They need a heat source.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could actually, believe it or not, if you had one, a good quality one, you could, you know, if it was metal or copper or whatever, you could actually put that right over an open fire and distill your water. Yeah. If you had
so that's some way supposedly where you can get around this if you are in the city and you're gridlocked and, you know, stuff shuts down. But that's another thing, man. A lot of people don't have the freaking money to buy this stuff anymore. You know what I mean? I actually just pulled some money out of my crypto account. And it's like, dude, where does the money go lately? You know what I mean? Oh, it feels like, it really does feel like cash is just worthless, because you get paid and then the next freaking 2 days, your check's almost gone. You know what I mean? And that was a week worth of work. And then you're spending that all in 2 or 3 days, it seems.
So when you have 8% inflation, whatever cash you get kicking around just gets devaluated more and more every day. Hey, Ryan, listen, let's wrap this up. I got to get back to doing my regular job, but I wanted to thank you for taking the time. I know it's your day off, and we tried to line this up to get in and get a little information, but thanks for joining me for this little addendum, episode addendum, I'm going to call it.
Yeah, we really devolved the conversation away from what we set out talking about, but I think it all ties in, man.
Yeah, it's all part of the big picture.
Yep. I could talk to you all day, Ron, whether I'm off or not. It's this isn't work to me. This is a really good time always. So thank you, and keep killing it with Wicked Planet, dude. You're doing awesome.
Yeah. Go out there, check out Ryan's The Dangerous World podcast. It's everywhere as you get your podcast. Same thing with my show, The Wicked Planet, which actually was spawned from The Dangerous World. Hey. I always make sure that people know that. We did a lot of shows together, Ryan. So that was really cool. Kind of cut my teeth over there at The Dangerous World. But thanks for coming on. And I'm going to talk to you real soon, Ron.
Of course, Ron. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, everybody. Thank you.